Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Chaf Aleph, Chulin 21a, pagination is 41. We're starting about a third of the way down at the end of a line, Omar Rav, Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, said, Nishbura Mafrekes, if the neck bone broke, Virov Basar Ima, and most of the flesh with it, so that it is severed even that the flesh is cut, metame ba'ohel, then it would cause tumah by a person, he would be considered dead. Now, the concept of ohel, we could pause here for a second and pay attention. What is ohel meaning a tent? It means that any time that something is tented over or is tented by the other, there's going to be tumah, so that, for example, if the dead body is lying on the floor and someone goes over it, that person going over it would become tameh. And likewise, the reverse, if the dead body is carried over somebody, then that somebody would become tameh. And another scenario, which is the most common case of ohel, is that both the dead body and the person in question are tented over by the same tenting. For example, a house. They're both in the same building, so you could have tumah going from the dead body to the person, even though he never touched, even though he's not in proximity, etc. This is the concept that we have, that Kohanim are concerned where they go. The average Jew becoming Tameh is not a prohibition, so we're not paying that much attention. But a Kohen who does have a restriction not to become Tameh, even if he's already become Tameh before, there's a restriction, he's going to pay attention to going to a cemetery, he's going to, in some cases, be paying attention to entering a hospital that has a morgue, and there may be considerations there. Likewise, if it's known that there's a dead body in a building, there are going to be considerations, perhaps even, we have cases, take a simple case, where, Rachmana Litzlan, a person collapses in a shul building, in a building, and the Kohanim are there davening, you could have a scenario where the Kohanim will have to leave for fear of being in the same building, tented over in the same area as the dead body. So that's Tumas Oel, and Tumas Oel is unique to a human being. So when we talk Nishbura Mafrekes Virov Basar Ima, we're talking about a human being was so injured. He's considered dead, even though he's still moving. V'im Tomar, if you'll ask me, the Gemara continues, Osa Maisa de Eli, the story of Eli. The story of Eli, as recorded in the book of Shmuel, is that Eli, an elderly Kohen Gadol, was informed of the capture of the Aron, and he fell as he went into shock. He fell from his chair, and he banged his head, and that killed him. Mafrekes below rov basar havoi, that's the breaking of the neck bone without severing the flesh. No one cut him. He just got banged, and that killed him. The Gemara answers, Zikna Shaini. That's because he was an elderly person, so such a wound killed him. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayikas kiru es aron o Elokim, when the informer told him that the aron was captured, Vayipo mi'alakise, he fell off his chair, achoranis backwards, Ba'ad yad hashar, by the gate, Vatish bar mafrakto, Vayamos, and he broke his neck bone and he died. But the pasuk continues. He didn't die simply because the neck bone got broken. It's kizake no ish vikaveit, because he was elderly and heavy, and that was a unique situation. But normally, in order to cause death, it would be the mafrekes with rov basar, with the flesh being torn. Also on this topic, a few lines later, Tanan Hosam, Hutsu Roshehen, if, in this case, we're talking about animals, if they were beheaded, Afapisha Mefarchesin Temeyin, even though there's still nerve reactions, activity, movement, they're still going to be considered tamei, as in dead and causing ritual contamination. Kizanav halata'a shemefar cheses, like the tail of a lizard that can actually be shed and it moves, even though it's clearly not alive, it doesn't have a heart and a brain or whatever we want to consider life. This tail is not life, even though it's moving. So that's zanav halata, that's this expression that something could theoretically move without being alive in a halachic sense. And this, as I mentioned in the previous session, is an opener to our discussion about brain death. The body is in place, but the argument is perhaps it's considered severed. And for the most part, the basic argument is simply not true, because the person can be staying in such a condition for weeks. In some cases, even though some people want to claim the expression brain death, and we need very real criteria in order to apply such a concept, but this is what people are trying to argue. They're trying to argue that even though there may be some sort of movement, some organs may still be functioning, they want to argue, but it's not part of what we know as life. Again, for the most part, these arguments are really unfounded. It's basically a mental handicap equivalent, where the person has lost mental capacity, but they're not dead, and the body is very much connected. In some cases, the person is on life support, and the curiosity always will be, is the life support keeping them alive, or merely artificially keeping the body active? And one way, of course, to tell would be to remove the life support, but we have to have permission to remove the life support if indeed the person is being kept alive thereby. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.